Okay, yeah, so I also want to say something about these lovely people who are with me. This is Maren. Maren is from Herrnhut in Germany, and she is like the mother of the vision in Jesus' house. So she, along with the others there, are the people who welcomed me into the family. And Maren, since the beginning days of the vision, has carried that vision outwardly and inwardly in such an amazing way. And she will share something with you in a minute. And I just want to honor her because I wouldn't be where I am if she wasn't there and she didn't. They have to keep welcoming these international people in who sometimes stay, like me, but a lot of them go, and often it's very hard to have this coming, going, constantly.
Constantly.
Constantly. But with Kathy and Karen, I also just want to... For me, it's a little bit like introducing one part of my family to another part of my family. So this is my sending church family here. And Kathy and Karen, I've known since 2011. We met in quite an interesting and fun way in Israel. I was in Israel, and they were also in Israel. And they tell this story much better than I do. But I'd arrived early at the House of Prayer in Israel on the Mount of Olives. And it just so happened that when they arrived, no one else was there apart from me standing there. So I'm like, welcome to Israel. And then they asked me where I was from, and I said that I was working in a house of prayer in Herrnhut, and they were like, oh, we've been praying for ages to have a chance to go to Herrnhut, because they knew about the history there, and it's something they've been praying about. And so for them, it was like, wow, we've met someone who's in Herrnhut. And we've been friends ever since. But I also want to just echo what Adrienne said, because Kathy and Karen are on my intercessors team. I don't know how many people know it, but I have about 18 intercessors who pray for me. I couldn't do what I'm doing without them. And they're such faithful intercessors that I can write something to them, say, I need prayer for this, and they're straight on it, and then they reply and give me scriptures and give me verses and encouragement, and also the friendship. And then when they're here somewhere with me, then we also have a lot of fun and laugh constantly. And yes, Elaine came from Yorkshire today to come and join us, because she was last year in Herrnhut. We had a gathering, and she was part of the gathering, and so has become part of our circle of friendship. So it's great to have her with us today. But I'm going to share a bit, but first Maren's going to share something. I'm not sure what, and I have to pass this over to you. Yes, now.
Okay.
I must just stick it on here, probably.
Can you do it? I have no idea.
Sorry.
So.
Yeah, there. We have to stay together.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah, we stay together.
Don't walk too far. Right.
I wanted to say thank you for the really warm welcome, and I feel at home from the first minute on. And before I say a word, I want to say I'm really jealous to you, because you smell the fragrance of Christ, and I so often wanted to smell it. And in the last gathering, this was one morning or so, and I had such a strong feeling that now the fragrance of God comes out of the part of the body of Christ we gather together in 120
people
from around 25 nations. And every nation, every culture is coming with this background and with the fragrance. And I had this strong feeling that all the streams come together and go to God. And he is so pleasing with this and with this fragrance. And I was nearly there to smell it, but I couldn't. And you have. I bring greetings from Herrnhut, and I want to say we need worshipers all the time. If you don't know what to do, you can come to Herrnhut and be invited. Yeah, it's the truth.
Yes, very
yeah.
true.
Yeah.
We're still trying to get them there.
And I have one thought in my heart that is, that is moving around since ages. And I want to read first Psalm 133. Behold how good and pleasant it is when brothers dwell in unity. It is like the precious oil on the head running down on the beard of Aaron, running down on the collar of his robes. It is like the dew of Hermon, which falls on the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. And Sue had talked about the preparation before our gatherings, but in this intercession team. And in Hernut, we prayed so often this psalm because we had this strong feeling that it's so important that the body of Christ from so many nations come together in unity. Because there sometimes when you come in a meeting where Christians are gathered together, then one or two want to be the kings. They don't say that, but you can feel it when you are spirit-filled. And I can't stand it. And that is my prayer from my heart, that we come together in unity and lay down all the things, all what we had done through and for the Lord and all the things. And we are so honored that we can host these gatherings since 3 years, I think. Other gatherings too, but this when so many nations come together and we worship together, we pray together, and it's such a joy and such an opening of hearts. It's like heaven. And we can taste this little bit of this unity, what is standing here in this psalm. When brothers dwell in unity, you can taste it, and yeah, it's so great. And I thought a little bit about that before I came here, and when you look around the world, you can see it's getting worse with the nations. One nation is against another. Hatred comes up when we repent so many times. We are in the corner from Poland and Czech Republic, and we did praying with all the three nations. We did prayer and repent all the time. And now comes this hatred again. Yeah. It comes up, it arises, and not only in our region, you can see it around the world. Yeah. That this the devil comes and will bring it again. And I think it's so important that the body of Christ dwell in unity, not only you in your congregation or we in Hernut or in other places, but the Christians in one nation and in other nations together. What I shared before, that it's really necessary that the world can see what can happen when Jesus is the head. He is our Savior, He is our Messiah. All the things we need are in Him. And it's so great. And I think this is one part of our being here on earth. And Jesus said, when we love each other, the unbelievers can see it and come to Christ. And when the nations love each other and no hatred is here, then it's like implosion, yeah? All the people can see it around the world. And I wanted, yeah, it was my heart to say it to you, a short thing, but yeah. And thank you for having us, and you are doing great. Yeah, thank you.
Don't walk away. Yes, so I would encourage you to talk to Maren and Kathy and Karen and Elaine and vice versa. We're all great people. I just wanted to share a little bit from the journey of this year in Hanhut. And as you know, I was here for January, February, March. So I was here at the beginning of the year, but I just wanted to share a little bit what was happening when I was away and what has since happened, just because there's just as a testimony, really, of the Lord's goodness, like we've been talking today, but also hopefully as an encouragement to you guys. So when I was away in January, the Lord had been giving the leaders in Jesus' house a verse from Haggai that talks about going up the mountain and collecting the wood and building the house of the Lord. So it's like, you've been building your own houses, but now it's time to build the house of the Lord, to go up the mountain, collect the wood, and build the house. And we had that verse, and for a couple of years, we'd been talking as a leadership team about maybe it's time for us as a congregation to say again that we believe in this vision of building this house of prayer. Because as most of you know, we own this big old hospital building that needs a lot of renovation, a lot of work, and we've already had it nearly 15 years. And it's just like slowly, slowly, slowly renovation, slowly, slowly, slowly renovation. When the money comes in, we'll build this next bit, we'll do this next bit. And sometimes it can just feel like it's all taking forever. And this year, at the beginning, when the Lord gave us this verse, we're like, okay, well, we are building the house. Well, you're giving this verse about building the house instead of our own house, but we are building the house. But when we prayed about it, what we really felt was that now was a time of breakthrough, that something was going to shift in terms of our faith, in terms of the financial provision, in terms of spiritual breakthrough, where there'd been strongholds, such as like poverty mindset or different things like that. We were like, now is the time there's going to be breakthrough. So we didn't have any evidence of it yet, but something was stirring that the Lord was giving us this word. And we'd been talking over the last couple of years about at some point we should say to the congregation again, let's make an offering from you know, instead of waiting for the money to come from outside, let's make an offering again from ourselves as an act of we believe in this vision, and it's an act of consecration, almost, like, this is what we're giving our life to, because we believe it's your vision that you've given to us. And so in January, while I was here, and they were there, they did an offering. They spoke about the vision again and said, let's as a congregation, give towards the vision. And they collected in that one service, it was 20,000 euros, I think, in the one meeting. And this was like, whoa, this was amazing. But it just stirred the faith of, wow, we're in this together. This is a year of breakthrough. And then we carried on in that kind of vein. We had a couple of 100 hours of continuous worship and prayer, and we were really praying for breakthrough and saying, now is the time, we believe it. And it's not about a building, that's not the point, but it's about fulfilling the vision the Lord's given us. And then when I went back then, a number of us felt that we should have a particular season of prayer, asking the Lord about what his strategy is for the building, like what's the next bit, what's the next thing. And because when you've been doing things for a long time, you have a plan in your head. This is what we need to do next. This is what needs to happen next, you know, and you're just kind of carrying on, following on with the plan. And but we felt the Lord say we should take some time to ask him, like, what are the priorities? What do we need to do? Is there something we're not doing right that we're not seeing breakthrough? And so we took 21 days. And the reason we did it, because it says continuously in the Bible that where the Israelites went wrong is that they didn't inquire of the Lord. They just did it like they did last time. They just relied on yesterday's wisdom and just carried on without asking. And so we felt that we don't want to be like that. We don't want to just rely on what's worked before or the plan that we had, you know, in 2005 or whatever. But we want to keep inquiring of the Lord. So even though a couple of people were like, why are we doing this? We already have a plan. Like, why are we doing this? We're like, because we feel we should. So we had these 21 days of prayer and fasting as a team. And it wasn't that we put on lots of meetings or anything. It was just like, okay, as a family, we're pushing in this direction and we're asking the Lord for strategy. And it was very, we wanted very specific strategy for the building. Like, what should we build next? What should we focus on? You know, give us strategy. And so we started to pray. And in the first week, straight away, like from different people, they were giving, like saying the Lord had given them scriptures that all seemed to be to do with placing the singers and worshippers back in place. So there's lots of things through the Old Testament about the Levites being put back in place, or, you know, the tabernacle of David, these kinds of things to do with worship and prayer. And also a lot of people were getting words about gatekeepers. And I'm like, okay, Lord, we're already doing worship and prayer. We're not 24/7 yet, but we're trying to go in that direction. What is it you want us to do? We're asking for specific strategy for the building, and you're talking to us about worshipers and prayer and gatekeepers. And what is it with the gatekeepers? Like, what does this actually mean? I want something I can grab onto, you know? And so we kept praying and asking, and it was coming up more and more. And we particularly had this scripture from 2 Chronicles 29. There's this whole chapter is about Hezekiah. And what's interesting in the Old Testament is that you read it and you have these series of the kings who did the right thing and the kings who did the wrong thing and the kings who did the right thing and the kings who did the wrong thing. And actually, if you follow it through, 7 times in Israel's history, there were kings who did the right thing, which meant putting the worshippers and prayers back in place, putting the gatekeepers back in place, putting the function of the temple back in place. And every time they did that, revival came to Israel. Interesting. There's a little bit of a pattern there. Every time we cast down our idols and put worship and prayer back in place, and focus on doing what the Lord's told us to do, then revival comes. And so this particular chapter is about Hezekiah doing that. So he gathers the Levites and priests, he gathers them back and say, hey, we've been doing our own thing. We have to consecrate ourselves and start doing what the God called us to do way back through David. And put the singers back in place, put the musicians back in place, put the function of the temple back in place, put the gatekeepers back in place. In fact, the first thing he does is repair the gates. And gates are a very significant spiritual significance. And then he called them all to consecrate themselves, so to lay down their lives again for the Lord. And then it goes through a lot, and I'm not going to go into it all, but they then began to sing and worship and do the sacrifices again. And right at the end, in halfway through 35, it says, so the service of the temple of the Lord was reestablished. Hezekiah and all the people rejoiced at what God had brought about for his people because it was done so quickly. There were a number of things we pulled out of this, but it felt like the Lord was saying, when you focus on these things, then the work will go really quickly. And we began to ask the Lord about the gatekeepers thing. And 3 different people came to me from at different points. And they said, hey, I think we just have this impression that we should focus on rebuilding the 24/7 prayer room. Now, I'll just explain what that means. We have a very big building, and there's a room that was used for 24/7 prayer at the beginning of the time when we had the building. But during the renovations, it had to be destroyed in order for the big sanctuary to be built. And so we moved all the prayer and worship downstairs into the worship room. So we've been continuing with the worship and prayer, but it was no longer in this room. And all the way along, there's been, oh, at some point, we'll renovate that room again, probably into a 24/7 prayer room. It's a very small room, so it's not like a big corporate worship room. It's more like a small prayer room. And it was kind of down the list somewhere. The next thing we were trying to do was finish the big sanctuary. And as we began to pray, then suddenly, like from different angles, people felt this impression, we should do that first. And one of the elders actually came to me and said, who totally would not have expected him to say this, but he came to me and said, I think we need to do the 24/7 prayer room because it's at the gate. And it's like the watchman post because you can see out to Hanhut and you can see into the courtyard. And it's like a reestablishing the gatekeeper. And he hadn't known what we had been talking about in these scriptures. And I was like, whoa. And suddenly I was like, oh, that's what you mean. And it just suddenly like made sense that we don't understand why. Why is it so important that this little room, we've got prayer going on in other places. I don't know why it's important, but God seems to think and say that this particular room being reestablished is important. And I think it makes a statement that we believe the role of the watchman and the role of the gatekeeper is important, that there's people who are 24/7 watching over the town and watching over the vision of the house. And if you put that back in place, then the work will go quickly. And so that suddenly shifted our work towards this room, which actually would only be, when we costed it up, it'll only cost about 2,000 euros to get it done. I was like, why have we been not doing this? But it just wasn't on the radar, you know? And so that's what we did, and that's why it's just an example of why it's important to inquire of the Lord, because we can just be going down this road doing the thing that we thought God told us to do, which is all good, but he's actually saying something new or saying, shift your focus here, and then that will go quicker. And so this was a huge encouragement to us. And I just want to encourage you with that. Just always stay in this mindset of inquiring of the Lord, inquiring of the Lord. However much you think the focus is set or you're on course, just keep inquiring of the Lord. Make it a culture. Amen. To constantly be season by season saying, what is the thing now? And he might shift you totally illogically off the path you were on. But if you're corporately on the same page, if you've corporately asked the Lord and you're like, yes, this is where he's telling us to go, then that really, really helps. And just also, so we just had this gathering that Maram was talking about. We've had it 3 years now. And we've got some people from outside partnering with us, and they keep pushing us to go further and develop things. And they've been really helpful for us in terms of in the last year they've been saying, can you please write down what you need? Write down the vision and write down what you need, because there's people who can help financially and there's people who can help practically. But if we don't know what you need, then we don't know what to say. And I think for us and for the Hanhutters, it's sometimes hard to say, we need this, like to be like, we need some money. Like asking for money is like a really hard thing. But they were really encouraging us and saying, no, it's normal, and pushing us to get something done by the gathering. And in many different ways, this was good for us. So in the space of a few months, we managed to get a logo, which, you know, 11 years and we've not managed, I've been there, we've not managed to get a logo, but finally we've got a logo, which is the hidden seed that we talk about so much, springing up from the ground. And we did this booklet that just explains about who we are as a congregation and House of Prayer. And it might seem like a small thing, but for us that was a really huge thing of almost stating our identity and stepping into this is who we are, actually. And we're not proud in a wrong way, but in a kind of just we want to introduce ourselves to you because this is who we are. And then we also developed this thing that just explains the different projects that we're currently doing. So then we put the 24/7 prayer room as number one on the projects. And then the second project is the main sanctuary. The third project is sound equipment and instruments. The fourth is a training center. And the fifth is a house of refuge, which is a house that we want. So if missionaries are coming back off the mission field, and they need somewhere to go just to, like, and have time with the Lord, or people who are coming from persecuted areas, because we actually have quite a lot of people coming through Jesus House who've come from extremely difficult, persecuted areas. And so to have a house that they can just come to, they don't have to pay for, they can just be like, okay, you know, a few weeks, 2 months, just seeking the Lord for the next season, or recuperating or whatever. So we had the vision for that house as well. The reason I'm telling you this is because we then had opportunity during the gathering just to cast the vision and to ask the people to partner with us. And we realized this is not our vision. This is the Lord's vision. And it's his plan that the nations partner with us to make this vision happen. And it kind of clicked in our heads a bit more that this is not about us asking money for our thing, but it's about us saying to the nations, will you carry this vision that we've been given to steward with us? And so we put this forward during the gathering and then gave people the opportunity to pledge. And as they on that night then with these 120 people, they pledged another 20,000. And then since then, another 10,000. So 30,000 euros towards building this house to be this place where people can come and encounter the Lord, to pick up those seeds and then sow them in the nations, which is the core of our vision. And it was just a huge breakthrough for us. So we go from the beginning of the year, the Lord saying, build the house, there's going to be breakthrough. And we're like, we don't know, what do we do different? You know, at that point, we had no strategy of what we do different than we've done before. We poured in our own resources. We inquired of the Lord, and he gave us strategy. And then we cast it out to the nations. And then this huge breakthrough came, and it's hard to explain how that significant that is for us, but it broke through mentalities. Mara wants to say something.
Maybe I can explain a little bit. So we are in Hamburg. We are located in former Eastern Germany, and it was not easy to go our way, and it's in socialist times and so, and yeah, we had our identity wasn't right. We even wanted to hold our flag up. It was we were ashamed. Yeah, we didn't want it. And when you have that in mind, then you maybe can imagine what it means to say, yes, the Lord told us to do this, and we did it for years, but it is a real step out. You go out and proclaim it to others, to the nation in the right way. And that is what Sue meant. Mm-hmm. It was not easy for us.
Yeah, and you could see just the huge shift in the team there of, the Lord has given us this, and the nations are standing with us. And we need to do this with the nations. And a lot, I mean, the money is one thing, but to see, for instance, we had some Asian groups there. And these groups, so like, you know, about 8 Chinese, they come up, they have this beautiful envelope that they've made, and they you know, usher you into a room, and they're like, we want to stand with you in building the house. And they present, you know, I think most of them, it was like 1,500 euros. They're from persecuted areas. They don't have much money. No. And yet they're giving this whole thing as a huge offering, not just a, here's some money, you know, do what you want, but something deep from their heart saying, we're partnering with you. And the evidence of that is our money. This is a seed that we're sowing in. But more importantly to them is they're giving their hearts and they're praying and they're going to come back next year and they're going to stand with us and they're going to be part of what the Lord is doing in Germany, in Europe, in our house. And this is just hugely humbling when you've got these people who are coming from persecuted areas telling you that they think you're amazing and, you know, your vision is amazing and what you're doing, you're like, what? But it's just, that's the fragrance that Myron was talking about. That's the fragrance of the body of Christ when we honor each other and stand with each other and are willing to not just say something like, oh yeah, I support you, but giving time, talent, treasure, as it says, into what the Lord's doing in different places, and to see that as we are the body, so we all can invest in what the Lord's doing in different places. So this was huge for us, such a huge, huge breakthrough. And part of the gathering, the theme of the gathering was from going from consecration to courage. Yeah. And in many points along the way in the last 15 years and longer for Jesus House, there's been so many points where on the face of it, it looked like this can't happen. We don't have enough money. We don't have enough people. People are leaving. It's not going to work. There's trouble. People have died. Marriages are broken up. You know, all the stuff of life that trips you up and makes you think, oh, I heard it wrong, or it can't happen. And in those points then, the Lord requires of us, or asks us again, to just consecrate ourselves. And consecration means going low and saying, regardless of what's going on here, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and I'm going to give myself again to what you've said, even though it's really hard to believe right now. And at that point, then, that requires then courage to go forward. And I think Kirsty said, mentioned courage as well in what she was saying, that there's so many points along the way, and it will happen again for us, and it'll happen again for you, and it's going to require a laying down again, and then a getting up again in courage and saying, I trust you, Lord, and I'm going to believe. And to make decisions based on his ability, his capacity. What we often do as believers is we believe the Lord said something, and then we look at our capacity to fulfill that. And then we're like, okay, we don't have enough. So maybe it's for later. And so we make a decision based on our own capacity, but the Lord is calling us. If he's told us to do something, then we make decisions based on his capacity and based on his word, not based on our capacity. And that's what will happen time and time again through your life. You will not have capacity to fulfill what the Lord's called you to do, but he will. And the courage is the point where you go, okay, even though this looks crazy to me, if the Lord said it, then I will trust in your capacity to fulfill. And I just want to encourage you with that. That's really what I want to say this morning is to make decisions in your life or as a congregation based on what the Lord said and on his capacity, not on your own. And to have the courage to step forward even though the circumstances might not look like it makes sense. And to live in this culture of inquiring of the Lord, personally and corporately. What do you want? Not what I think is possible, but what do you want? What are you saying? And when you corporately get to that place of saying, this is what the Lord, this is the Lord's heart, this is the Lord's word, then there comes this excitement of stepping into it with courage. Because you know he's going to fulfill it if he said it. And it's almost exciting that it looks like it can't happen, because you know then there's got to be some miracles coming, because we can't do this on our own. And I just want to encourage you that. And also just generally, and I was thinking about this when I was sitting here, that every single time I come back to OCF, and I know it's hard for you guys when you're in the middle of everything to see what's happening, but every single time I come back, I'm like, whoa, the Lord's really done something in that person, or wow, that's really shifted, or wow, there's, you know, and I have that wow in me every single time. And when you're in the middle of it, you can't always see it. But just great this morning to hear Sarah get up and share that, and it's like, wow, it's so cool. That you have that in your heart to be the fragrance where you are, and that you could come up here and say it, and then pray over everybody. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. That's such a cool testimony of the Lord and other people, and Kirsty coming up, and it's always, for me, what's always really great here is it feels like family. It feels so just relaxed, in the sense of you can come as you are, you can share, you can say this is working, this is not working, but we're still here together. And I just want to encourage you, because I always see growth. Every single time I come, I see growth. And so if you're in the place right now where you feel like, I don't feel like I'm growing, or I don't feel like anything's shifting, I just want to encourage you to just stand on the Lord's word again, even if you felt like you've done it 100 times, and have the courage to step up and say, yes, I'm believing for this, and to ask your church family to stand with you in the believing for this. So, amen.